540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden arrived in Tel Aviv this morning and spoke alongside Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Americans are worried because we know this is not an easy field to navigate, what you have to do.
His visit comes on the heels of a massive blast at a hospital in Gaza City. Hamas Health Ministry says at least 500 people were killed.
I'm deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday. And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you.
Doctors have been performing surgery on wounded victims on hospital floors with no anesthesia. Israel and Hamas are pointing fingers at each other. Correspondent Ian Lee.
Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas blamed Israeli airstrikes for the explosion, calling it a war crime.
Those responsible for this crime should face justice and should face accountability.
The situation sparked angry protests in multiple Middle Eastern countries, including Jordan and Lebanon, where the State Department has issued a do not travel advisory.
Jordan has canceled scheduled talks between President Biden, King Abdullah, the Palestinian and Egyptian presidents. Lawmakers in Washington will try again today to elect a House Speaker after Jim Jordan fell far short of the votes he needed yesterday. Republican Senator Mitt Romney tells CBS.
The great majority of the Republicans in the House, I think, would like to have someone that represents the mainstream of our party. Jim Jordan represents a small part of the party, but a very vocal part of the party.
Jordan is a close ally of former President Trump's. The body count's growing at a Colorado funeral home. KKTV's Adam Acheson.
The Colorado Bureau of Investigation announced that at least 189 bodies have now been removed from the Return to Nature funeral home in Penrose. Now, originally they said at least 115, but authorities have been working for days now and the total has changed.
More new stuff coming to X, the platform we used to call Twitter, is charging new subscribers in New Zealand and the Philippines $1 a year for basic features like posting content and liking other people's posts. Elon Musk says he's trying to combat bots and spam accounts. And there's a new Mr. October.
And he sends Allen to right, hit deep. Carroll turns and it's gone.
Kyle Schwarber hit two homers, tying Reggie Jackson for the most dingers by a left-hander in postseason history with 18 in a 10-0 rout of the D-backs. Puts the Phils two wins away from another National League pennant. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 18th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, by podcast or by social media, nice to have you here in the state of Wisconsin Sense. We're going to unpack the news for you, and we're going to start it pretty early because there is so much to deal with today, including what some folks might say is a real power play in Madison. It's not. It's a tantrum. It was an unprecedented display by legislative Republicans on Tuesday of complete and total disdain for citizen service in Wisconsin and for the will of the voters. Republicans in the state Senate on Tuesday, for no decent reason whatsoever, fired eight of Governor Tony Evers' appointees. In one case, so many people on the state Natural Resources Board that it was left without a quorum, without the ability to do its job. One of the people fired included our normal Wednesday visitor, Melissa Baldoff, who is a domestic abuse survivor and who was serving as co-chair of the Governor's Council on Domestic Abuse. We're going to talk to her a little earlier than usual this morning. She's going to tell us about the sexism put on display by at least one senator, himself a former police chief, in handling her nomination and subsequent removal from the Domestic Abuse Council. Melissa then, of course, will stick around and we'll talk about issues related to a changing climate and what that means for Wisconsin. Then in our next hour, another big story. It deals with a lawsuit that was filed last week, one we've known was coming for a while. And it's official now, and it is a lawsuit that seeks to drive a stake through the heart of the voucher school program that was created and encouraged by those looking to undermine Wisconsin public schools to the extent that it has become a second parallel school system in Wisconsin that taxpayers have to pay for, that they shouldn't have to pay for. The state constitution calls for one school system that taxpayers are responsible for. This lawsuit doesn't look to get rid of private education in any way, shape, or form, but says if you want to go to private school, you pay your own freight. There's one school system that Wisconsin taxpayers should be responsible for. We will talk to the lead plaintiff in there, Julie Underwood, and Heather Dubois-Bornon of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also going to get the updated weather forecast. We're going to talk to Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids later this hour when we do today's history lesson and music segment. And then we will wrap things up, as we often do on Wednesdays, by talking to Todd Alba, whose show airs on the Civic Media Radio Network from 1 to 3 in the afternoons. Temperatures across Wisconsin right now about 15 degrees warmer than yesterday, and that's a relief. It is 49 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It's 49 in Madison. It's 49 in Hayward. It's 48 in La Crosse and Wisconsin Rapids. It's 45 in Waukesha and Wausau. And the cool spot across the Civic Media radio network of stations would be in Green Bay, where it is 42 degrees right now. As we get into things here, if you have questions or comments, there's a couple of different ways where you can have input. You can call us up live at 844-967-2789. Happy to talk to you. Happy to answer any questions. Keep in mind as well that that same phone number isn't just for calls. You can text us as well at that same number, 844-967-2789. You can do both of those as well through the Civic Media app. Put that on your phone and you can text or call us. And we'll mention the texts as they come in. Same goes for the comments. If you hear something as you watch us on a live feed on Facebook, just put a comment there right underneath the live video feed. We'll see it, maybe put it up on screen, maybe respond to that as well. So as I said, we have a lot of ground to cover today. We cannot forget, though, as always, a tip of the cap and a note of thanks to Sam Davison, who's standing by down in Madison, flipping all the knobs and switches and keeping this radio circus on the air with all the plates spinning. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, but I'm doing pretty good.
I think it's a function of the darkness, you know, this early in the morning.
I was up a little late the past couple nights too, but.
Oh yeah. The night before I had just a wicked case of insomnia. Mm. So yeah, it's getting dark earlier. If you're not taking care of yourself, if you're still trying to stay up a little late, it kind of comes back to bite you every now and then, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. We'll work through it.
Now, by chance, was it related to the engine rebuilding project that you've got going, or
no?
Other things happening.
I work part time at a theater on the UW campus. I run film projectors.
Oh,
so, I was out there doing that.
Film project. So not everything is computerized yet, huh? There's still a projector that needs to be run.
Well, I mean, they only do it for like specialty events or like glass screenings, but. Here and there, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. And then I suppose you get free popcorn as one of the perks of
if they make
job,
it, yeah.
Right? All right. Well, good. But unfortunately, yeah, there's not a lot of matinees anymore. People want to see these things in the evening and keeps you up a little bit past your normal bedtime, I would imagine.
Oh, tad. Not too bad, though.
Okay, that's all right. We'll manage to keep each other awake through the day until the sun rises here and we really get going on this Wednesday. It's October 18th. Then again, when we come back, we'll really get into things with Republican legislators and their petty and unprecedented firing of gubernatorial appointees. We'll briefly touch on some of the other headlines of the day, a little bit of sports and more coming up. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. And we'll be back on Lake Wissota after this.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here in our little history lesson and music break later this hour, I'm going to be rattling off a whole bunch of songs, just song titles. I don't have time to play all of the clips because we're going to be mentioning two different legendary songwriters who were born on this day in history, and then tell you just the wide range of music that they put together. Dolly Parton's Here You Come Again is one of them that we'll be talking about in just a little bit. So stick around. Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids will join us for that segment coming up at about 6:50. Very briefly in sports, the National League Baseball playoffs, the Phillies beat up on Arizona last night 10-0. Phillies up 2-0 in the National League Championship Series. The American League Championship Series resumes tonight in Dallas with Houston taking on the Texas Rangers. Houston's already up 2-0 in that series as well. The Up North News daily newsletter is out. Today's edition talks about the drive to plant 75 million trees across Wisconsin, one of the things that we can do to continue ensuring a healthy climate. The newsletter talks about 11 scenic drives that you can take around Wisconsin, and fall colors would be the perfect time for that. And then my editorial column about the anti-trans bills that have made their way through the legislature, including a bill that was passed by the state Senate yesterday, limiting the rights of transgender youth and their families. The headline being that, you know, in the end, hate won't win, but for the moment, the voices of hate have a very big megaphone, and they are running the Wisconsin legislature right now. More about that in just a sec, but I also want to mention in passing, the assembly passed a bill yesterday that would help renovate American Family Field and keep the Brewers in the ballpark for the next several years. That bill now moves on to the state Senate. There was a new candidate announced for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District across western Wisconsin and part of central Wisconsin. His name is Eric Wilson. He's from Eau Claire. He becomes the 5th Democrat to announce for that primary to potentially run against Republican Derek Van Orden. We will talk to Eric Wilson in our 7 a.m. hour on Friday. And one more note out of the news internationally, and I know we got this on the text line yesterday, where somebody asked if we could help explain all the contradictory stories about what's happening in the Middle East. Is it, you know, Israelis who are, you know, bombing Gaza? We heard about that terrible tragedy yesterday with an explosion at a hospital in Gaza that killed hundreds. Was that Israel? Was that a Hamas rocket that misfired? Was it a completely separate group, Islamic Jihad, that is trying to undermine and inflame tensions in the area? And the only thing that bothers me more than everybody speculating about it is that we don't know. We don't know yet. And yet a lot of people are willing to point fingers. It is, of course, a place where, you know, tension is raw, emotions are high. It's a war zone, and it's a conflict that's been going on since long before we got here, and we have had in fits and starts an ability to bring periods of peace to the region. We are not there at this moment. President Biden is in Israel this morning. We're going to let those talks continue and have events play themselves out and take more time at a future date to try to get to some of the building blocks that would help all of us understand this and come to our own political conclusions, but hopefully come to the same humanitarian conclusion that we should do whatever we can to minimize civilian casualties in this war. So we'll save that for another time. Okay, also on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, you will see my story about what Republicans did yesterday in the state Senate. The Republicans can confirm gubernatorial nominees whenever they like. In other words, a governor appoints people to head up departments, agencies, boards. And in Wisconsin, you don't have to wait for Senate confirmation. You start doing those duties right away. But then whenever the Senate gets around to taking a vote, if they vote not to confirm you, then that means essentially you're fired. It's very much, and let's be clear about this, this is a perverse way of handling Senate confirmations. But nobody has thought to change it in all of these many, many years because nobody had blatantly abused the process until Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature after Tony Evers was elected governor. Republicans are still sitting on more than 100 nominations, choosing not to confirm them so that essentially they have the power to fire them at any given point. They've done that with a cabinet secretary, Brad Paff, when he was heading up the state agriculture department. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees, not for any high crimes or misdemeanors or malfeasance or anything, just because they're petty and they can do it. And I would urge everybody, the reason I am spending so much time emphasizing this is to not normalize it. Since 1981, the state Senate has only rejected 5 gubernatorial appointments. Governors are duly elected by Wisconsin voters. Governors should get to choose their agency heads, barring actual misdeeds. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff. She is a former aide to Governor Evers, but she's also a former domestic abuse survivor. Governor Evers just called all of this a disregard for democracy. And he's absolutely right. And so I talked to Melissa late yesterday and asked her to recount the tale of how she came to be on the council and what happened next.
Back in 2019, I was appointed to by the governor to serve on the governor's council on domestic abuse in a role that is, one of the roles that's reserved for survivors. I am a survivor of domestic abuse, something I've, had to deal with for a long time, even though I'm very happily remarried now, something that stays with you a long time, the trauma, and with my kids. And being able to be involved in this council was for me, like for so many survivors who get involved in advocacy, really, one way to, work towards healing and to regain your voice. And so I was first appointed in 2019, was reappointed last year. They never confirmed me the first time. And then they took up both of my appointments and decided to vote me down because Senator Jesse James said basically that I was mean to some of his colleagues in tweets. I'm personally disappointed to not get to serve in this role. It's been very fulfilling for me. But, the broader concern I have is the kind of chilling effect it has on survivors, because the message is to shut up, to be quiet. If they aren't going to like what you say, the tweets he took offense to were ones where I called out racism and homophobia and transphobia and misogyny. And I won't apologize for calling those things out.
Okay. I want to make sure I have this straight because I'm hearing this for the first time. You're saying the person leading the voices, rejecting your being able to continue serving on a domestic violence panel was Senator Jesse James, the former police chief of Altoona, who knows a thing or two about this issue, and my words, not yours, might have an idea of how that looks, but apparently went ahead and did it anyway. That's the Senator Jesse James we're talking about here?
That's who chaired the committee and they first voted me down in committee. Yes. So I kind of led that charge there and I actually had a conversation with him several months prior to being voted down in committee where he, had a stack of my tweets printed out and told me he had some concerns about them, asked me if I hated all men, asked me if I felt like I was emotional when I made my tweets. But once we got through that.
He said that?
Oh, he sure did. He sure did. And after we got through all that, however, I held my tongue because doing that kind of work is really important to me. And it's a place where I set politics and partisanship aside. And after that, we had, I thought, a very, you know, productive conversation. We spoke at length about the role of law enforcement. You know, I relayed my experience that I, you know, the several times that I have had to call law enforcement in the past, you know, my interactions were very positive. I shared my concern for law enforcement officers and first responders generally. You know, they're often going into dangerous situations. And, you know, we just saw earlier this week a report come out from End Abuse of Wisconsin talking about the 20% increase in domestic violence homicides in Wisconsin. We are one of the worst states. Further data will come out federally in about a month. But as of last year, we were the seventh worst state in the country for domestic violence homicides. Because of our 20% increase, that number is expected to get even worse this year. And, you know, most of those homicides, the overwhelming majority of those homicides are gun related. And also that counts gun suicides as well. So, you know, the report also detailed the significant underfunding that is happening to domestic violence programs. They are experiencing tens of millions of dollars in shortfall. And instead of dealing with any of that, they want to send a message to a lady they don't like. So it's just, I think it's very representative of the way they're acting broadly.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but can we still be disappointed, almost shockingly so in cases like yours?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it just goes to show that, you know, there's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. And every time I thought that, they found a way to, you know, let the bar sink a little bit lower. So, you know, I think that's going to continue to be the case, you know, here in Wisconsin, in D.C., where you got, you know, our six congressmen voting for an insurrectionist to be speaker. You know, it's like you don't think that it could get worse. And yet it does.
And yet it does indeed. Melissa Baldoff will join us on the other side of the break to talk more about our usual weekly climate segment. But let me take the rest of this segment to note some of the other firings yesterday, including former legislators. You talk about having any type of legislative professional courtesy? No. Joseph Czarnecki, former Milwaukee County Clerk, former state rep, former state senator, was fired from the Wisconsin Elections Commission for standing up to the Republican imaginary firing of Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. By firing members of the Natural Resources Board, it has been unable to meet or act until the governor names new members, something the governor did do right away. Sheldon Wasserman, an OBGYN and former state senator and chair of the Medical Examining Board, was fired yesterday as well for having the audacity to stand up for women's reproductive health rights. And there was a gentleman who was let go from a board that hears challenges to decisions on where to build livestock facilities because of opposition by business groups. Don't normalize this, folks. This is a Saturday night massacre of Wisconsin proportions that nobody needs to tolerate. Back after this, you're up north.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. President Biden arrived in Israel this morning and voiced support for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who sat beside him.
Israel, as they respond to these attacks, it seems to me that they have to continue to ensure that you have what you need to defend yourselves. And we're going to make sure that occurs, as you know.
Mr. Biden's visit comes a day after a massive explosion at a hospital in Gaza that killed hundreds of people. Hamas blames Israel. Palestinian ambassador to the UN, Riyad Mansour, insists
those responsible for this crime should face justice.
Israel blames the blast on Islamic Jihad. Daniel Hagari with Israeli Defense Forces.
The size of the damage we see here is due to the warhead of the Islamic Jihad rocket.
President Biden's meeting with Jordanian, Palestinian, and Egyptian leaders has been canceled. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association. If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Okay, we're back now, and we're going to re-engage with Melissa Baldoff on the things that she's working for these days, which oftentimes involve a changing climate and things that we can do, the ideas, the policies that are all out there that can, you know, stop making the problem worse and maybe, you know, mitigate some of the damage and think about solutions as well. And as we looked at what's been new here, I you know, want to come maybe briefly touch on the anniversary of the 73 OPEC oil embargo in just a sec here. But I'm going to start with kind of where we left off in the last segment. A Republican Party, a right wing in this country, so filled with conspiracy theories that it is one of the obstacles to working on climate solutions. You see this firsthand. You've certainly seen conspiracies and misinformation firsthand in the state capitol here. How big a problem is that? How big a challenge is it to engage in conversations about climate solutions when you're having to knock down conspiracies and falsehoods?
It's a really big challenge, and it, for a couple of reasons. You know, one, we, you know, all talk about, you know, the, you know, kind of rise and the spread of misinformation and disinformation on social media. And a lot of that happens organically. You know, you think about, you know, your uncle who, or your aunt who, you know, shares a meme on Facebook that you're just like, oh my gosh, how could you possibly think this is true? But you know, that kind of information is spreading around organically on social media and people are talking about it. But then the other thing that's really, you know, insidious about the misinformation and disinformation when it comes to climate change is that there are some real dollars behind this. You have, you know, some organizations out there, you know, sometimes paid for by the fossil fuel industry, that are spending a lot of money to very intentionally spread this disinformation to, you know, people who are vulnerable, to people who, you know, they think might be, you know, ripe for receiving it and sharing it. So, you know, it's not just that it's sharing around organically, it's that there's a oftentimes a whole lot of money and coordinated strategy behind getting that disinformation to people. And that's something that's incredibly challenging to work against, you know, when they're so well funded.
And they're going up against, by and large, people who they may be scientists, they may be researchers, they deal with facts. They just want to work to get the facts out there. They're not involved in, you know, marketing and public relations. And so it seems like they're often kind of at first put back on their heels that they can't believe they have to knock down all of this bad information. But the time that it takes to do that is time that takes away from working toward a solution and working to let people know what some of the problems, challenges, and opportunities are.
Exactly. I mean, you think about how long it's taken us, you know, as a society to get to a place where, you know, a significant majority of people in America believe that climate change is real. It wasn't that long ago that we had a whole lot of people who really did not believe in the science behind climate change. And yes, we still have people who don't believe that it's real. And unfortunately, many of them are in elected office, making decisions in the Republican Party. But we are to a place where the fringe position is not believing the science, but they're really able to amplify that fringe position and, you know, use it to spread disinformation about things that people don't have a really thorough understanding about yet. So people do believe in climate change. They know it's a problem. They know it's a serious problem. They want to do something about it. But, you know, the science can be complicated and it's not as easy to explain some of those things in, like you said, in a marketing campaign, in a soundbite. And then you've got, you know, people out there like, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, you know, going on and on about the Green New Deal is going to, like, you know, criminalize cow farts and all these ridiculous things they talk about. And that's the kind of thing, like, that just sticks with people. They hear it and it's like, oh, well, that's like, maybe it's not that bad, but maybe it's kind of bad. And to explain the real science and the real facts is a little harder.
Let me get to one of the new ones here. Again, not to spread other people's misinformation, but trust me, to lift it up so we can knock it down. And that is about something in urban planning conversations called 15-minute cities, designing living spaces in a way that you can access a lot of your amenities in a short walk or a bike trip or a trip on public transport. We were just talking to Chad Holmes yesterday about what's happening in downtown Wausau and trying to develop that. And certainly Chippewa Falls is the same way. Other cities the same way, where we're seeing more amenities that take fewer car rides. That's a net positive. And yet now there's a conspiracy theory saying this is some kind of a plot to restrict people's movements or you know, trap them in an open air prison. I mean, Joe Rogan, of course, was talking about this, needing government permission to leave an area. The kinds of things you cannot believe that other people believe, and yet it's out there in what would otherwise be a completely wholesome and nice idea for urban planning.
Right. I was, you know, when you shared that with me this before we, you know, got into this segment here, I was not familiar with this particular conspiracy theory. And oh my gosh, is it bonkers. I mean, I live in Shorewood, Wisconsin. For folks who aren't familiar with the community, suburb just north of Milwaukee on Lake Michigan. 1.5 square mile village. We are just a geographically small town, very dense, but very small. So I live in a 15-minute city. I can get anywhere I need to go walking or on my bike in 15 minutes or, you know, on the bus. And it's great. And I love it. And I know that there are lots of communities, large and small, where people can get around. And that's, you know, way back when people weren't driving cars all the time, people did try to have things clustered in a central area because it makes it easier for people to, you know, do their business and go about their days. I think of so many towns that have a, you know, so are they against main streets? I mean, where you can go grocery shop, go to the hardware store, go to Taylor, whatever you need to do. I mean, it's just bonkers.
And it gets away from the climate and it gets more into psychology. And the psychology of why people want to believe or so easily believe these things, that they're going to take away your car, they're going to take away your gun, things like that. And again, if you're a climate scientist or an urban planner, you ain't got time for that. And yet that's what we're facing, you know?
Right. Nobody should have to, no scientist should have to factor what Joe Rogan is saying on a podcast into their work. And yet here we are. And, you know, it does, though, raise a question for me is, do we think that's part of why Aaron Rodgers left? Was Green Bay becoming too much of a 15-minute city for him?
Oh, it could have been. I mean, did he expect there was going to be a moat, you know, maybe an electronic moat around Green Bay and he wouldn't be able to get out? I can't predict with these folks. I honestly cannot. So I'm going to see if we're going to end this segment on a glass half full or a glass half empty. And I talked about this yesterday, that the OPEC oil embargo from 1973 is now 50 years old, that it was a milestone moment, even for little 9-year-old Pat Kreitlow seeing the long lines at gas stations and people saying, you know, we need to get off of being reliant on foreign oil. Well, that's cut both ways. We now have higher domestic oil production than ever before. But again, we're still on petroleum products. We have embraced more renewable fuels, renewable energy, EVs, all of that. But again, much more slowly than a lot of us would have thought we were going. So to look back on the 50 years, I guess I would say it's a net positive, but there's still so much to do. And I wonder if you agree, or if you look at these 50 years and go, God, so many lost opportunities.
I mean, I think it's a yes and there. You know, we've definitely had missed opportunities, but I do agree with you that we have made some progress. And I think one of the ways, you know, even though we just talked about misinformation, I do think information and education has been really positive, that more people are understanding the need to reduce our reliance on foreign energy sources. And the more that they learn about what those alternative sources of energy are that aren't fossil fuel reliant, you know, they are understanding that, you know, that industry is volatile regardless. It's more volatile when we're reliant on foreign companies to provide it, or foreign governments. But, you know, the energy that we can you know, generate right here and oftentimes right in our communities, when you see people, you know, with solar and wind, you know, we know that those are going to be so much more reliable and cost effective and really foster that energy independence. And that's something we've talked about before. And, you know, I think it is shifting in the right direction.
I hope so. I feel like that's, you know, the place where we are going ever so slowly. But I just thought that a milestone anniversary like this was a good way to take stock and say, okay, there are things we deserve a pat on the back for, but only for a moment, because there's so much work to be done, including, again, mitigation, which we wouldn't have had to do if we'd have done more things sooner, and including knocking down misinformation. But I'm very glad that we have you here for that. Melissa Baldoff, thanks so much for all of your extra time today. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And again, we thank Melissa for speaking to us in our last segment about being one of those people that Republican senators fired yesterday, dumped from their position. And Governor Tony Evers put out a lengthy statement about it with some background. And it really gets to the nature of this isn't some little political spat. This isn't some little partisan dispute. As he notes, Wisconsin Republicans have consistently refused to confirm Governor Evers' appointees. At the start of his second term, nearly 180 individuals appointed by the governor to lead state agencies and serve on various boards and commissions had not been confirmed. 180. Leaving them unconfirmed for months, even years, without any regard for their professional experience and their background, including public members of various boards and commissions who are volunteering their personal time, their experience, and their expertise to serve the state of Wisconsin. Governor Evers said yesterday to reporters, "This is insanity. And this is an issue of democracy. Republicans have got to stop doing this," he said. "These are good people that they're voting down. These Wisconsinites are educators, healthcare professionals, survivors of domestic abuse, advocates, conservationists. And I don't care," he says, "if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or otherwise, these Wisconsinites are completely qualified to do the job they've been asked to do, and they are volunteering their time, talent, and expertise without pay to serve their neighbors and our state. Harassing them, belittling them, and publicly firing them just because Republicans have decided that's the way they want politics to work these days, that's just plain wrong." And he's absolutely right. As noted previously, prior to this, since 1981, the state Senate had rejected only 5 gubernatorial appointments total. This is a big middle finger, not to the governor, but to voters in Wisconsin who voted for a governor. But this is how they operate now. They're talking about impeaching a state Supreme Court justice. They're talking about impeaching the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. One of the 8 people they fired yesterday was one of the Democratic members on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And in Congress, all 8 Wisconsin Republican members voted for one of the architects of a violent insurrection and an attempt to overturn the will of the voters. The Republican Party is not normal right now. And that's why I want to say again, do not normalize this kind of behavior that is openly hostile to voters who still believe in democracy. We're going to take a break here. We're going to talk to Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR. Then we'll have more about this topic and also that new lawsuit against the voucher school program with a couple of special guests in our next hour. All on Up North News Radio. We'll be right back.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. cloudy today with a chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 64. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 49. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 57. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Let's talk about one of the founding fathers of rock and roll. If there were a Washington's birthday to be celebrated for the rock and roll calendar, that would be today. The birth of Chuck Berry, this day in 1926, 97 years ago. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, joins us on Wednesdays for this little segment. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I thought my uncle wrote this song because this is the first song I danced to at a wedding that his band played at. I was probably like six.
Oh, that's great.
I love this song.
What kind of a band? Like cover band or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool to have a band in the family and be surrounded by live music like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of weddings, I assume?
Well, I don't know that the band lasted very long.
Oh, okay.
He plays drums, but
yeah. But still, I mean, Chuck Berry, who passed away in 2017, one of the architects of rock and roll. It was on this day in 1867 that the U.S. took possession of Alaska, purchasing it from Russia for, now in hindsight, a measly $7 million, celebrated annually there every day as Alaska Day. And the U.S. took possession of Puerto Rico from Spain on this day in 1898. And one radio note, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, was founded on this day in London on this day in 1922. So wow. Speaking of radio, not so much the BBC, but over at Locally Grown Radio, know what all you kids got going over there in the middle of our state.
Well, this week we have our legislative breakfast in Wood County, which is exciting. So I will get to go to that. Pam Hilke's coming with me this year, the heart of our station. She is our office administrator and, you know, just keeps everything going. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to enjoy hearing from most likely Representative Krug, Senator Patrick Keston, and Representative Vandermeer is usually there. I'm hoping Katrina Shanklin shows up. That would be awesome.
That would be especially given not just Representative Shanklin's entry into the race for Congress, but what we just talked about in terms of Republicans firing eight Tony Evers appointees. So that could be a very interesting breakfast, depending on who all shows up.
It could be. Mm-hmm.
We'll see who does. Now, I'm going to play George Benson's On Broadway in the background here. Actually, Sam is. He's about to hit the button while I talk
Sam.
About. Hey. No, you can't wave at her. Oh, it's a radio show.
I didn't realize you were asking me a question or something. Sorry.
she said, "Hey, Sam."
Oh,
and,
hi.
And you just gave
Hello.
A nice little wave, which everybody on Facebook appreciated. That's so great. Now, again, I wouldn't dare ask Sam to play all of these tunes. So I just want to rattle these off for the both of you, Sam and Melissa, because of two legendary songwriters who have birthdays today. Both have since passed. In fact, Cynthia Weil just died this past June at age 82. She was born this day in 1940. She worked with her husband, Barry Mann. And along with On Broadway, here's what Cynthia Weil and her husband worked on. Barry Mann, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, and You're My Soul and Inspiration by the Righteous Brothers, We Got to Get Out of This Place by the Animals, Here You Come Again by Dolly Parton, Just Once by James Ingram, Make Your Own Kind of Music by Mama Cass Elliott, Running with the Night, Lionel Richie, whom you heard earlier, Somewhere Out There from Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram, and Don't Know Much with Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt. She and her husband had a long friendship and rivalry with another husband and wife songwriting duo, Carole King and Jerry Goffin. Cynthia Weil, born this day in 1940. Not a bad track record, huh?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Also born, now 7 years later, born this day in 1947, was Laura Nyro. And let's hear a little from the Fifth Dimension, Stone Soul Picnic. Because Laura Nyro gave us a couple of Fifth Dimension hits. There was this one and Wedding Bell Blues. There was Stony End from Barbara Streisand. We'll hear that later. And a couple of tunes from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Eli's Coming, and When I Die, one of my own personal favorites. Laura Nyro, unfortunately, passed away far too young, died of cancer at the age of 49 back in 1997. And almost criminally, it took until 2012 until she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, again, two of the greats for not just female songwriters, but songwriters overall, Cynthia Weil and Laura Nyro, born on this day in history. And I think it was just, yeah, Cynthia Weil and her husband, Barry Mann, and Carole King, Jerry Goffin, they worked in the infamous Brill Building, where it was basically, you know, indiscreet building in New York City, where they just cranked out hit after hit. That's all they did all day long was write songs. It was a musical top 40 sweatshop. And I can't even, imagine, but if you ever saw the Carole King musical, Beautiful, you get the sense that, like a lot of us, it's a period in your life where you've never worked harder, but you've also never had more fun. And I feel like we've all had kind of a period like that in our lives.
Yeah. Very true. My period of that was when I worked at a high school.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
I was the administrative assistant to the principal.
Okay.
So.
And again, a lot going on there.
Oh, yeah. So
but
much.
But you had fun. For me, it was, my early years at Channel 13, where we used to joke that you got paid in laughter. Because the pay was miserable, but you were almost never not laughing because you were having such a good time, even as you were working your tail off. Sam is going through that right at this very moment. He's he's sitting here at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's working in the evenings, running a projector,
spinning all the plates.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's everything you dreamed of and more, Sam. Right?
It's great. I love it.
A good recovery.
I'd say even any job that I've done that fits this even better. I worked at a scout camp over the past 4 summers, and that it's probably like working at a school.
It gets
to be a lot, but it's so much fun.
A lot of kids, but it's so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's play a little Ne-Yo in the background because Ne-Yo turns 44 years old today. Meanwhile, Mike Ditka turns 84 today. Happy birthday to Ditka. Wynton Marsalis, 62 years old today, the jazz trumpeter and composer. Legendary skier Lindsey Vonn is 39 today. Actor Zac Efron is 36. And on this day in 2008, Adele was the guest on Saturday Night Live. Nobody really knew her. They were just starting to hear this song, Chasing Pavements. And of course, we would go on to hear so much more about Adele. But part of the reason they say that she got more than a little boost from that SNL appearance was that was the same show Sarah Palin made an appearance. And so there was a huge audience and a lot of exposure for Adele as well. So, again, you don't know the circumstances. Any big, sexy, fun plans for the weekend there, Melissa?
Yeah, we're changing oil in multiple vehicles.
It's going to be one of those winterization weekends, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's raking leaves, cleaning out the garage, whatever the case may be.
All those things need to get done too. Thanks,
for me, it's going to be swapping the soft top off the Jeep, putting on the hard top before the snow falls. So
there you go.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about that potentially landmark lawsuit against the voucher school program next. You're up north.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players.
We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.